Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest for a multiracial mix of queer writers gathered around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, a platter smattering of spreadable nut butters.
Oh my god.
All of which I'm allergic to!
Is that smegma?
No! No! No, it's not! I'm throwing my rosé in your face!
No, you're not.
No, I'm throwing my smegma in your face!
Oh! I'm Tommy True. Team Spico. I'm an Indigenous American poet, editor, and I refer to the booty as nature's hot pocket.
That was a subpar tweet, Tommy. That was a subpar tweet that I responded to.
I'm Fran. I'm a writer, editor, and I've recently come to terms with the fact that I think I'm, like, addicted to all of y'all's nudes. I like, exclusively get nudes from fans, and I love it. And if you want to keep sending me nudes, I am here for it. But just know that I have a problem.
I thought you meant the people in the room.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm talking to the people that I care about.
I was like,
which
what
is...
the fuck did I do on Ambien? Did I tweet something untoward?
I just DM'd you 13 more dick pics. As you were doing
oh,
that.
Oh, my God. On brand.
I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, verse bottom, and my sexuality is taking that first bite of some oh so juicy, fresh, explosively spicy double beef nachos.
Oh my god, I can't.
Double beef.
Also, you did eat some double beef nachos the other night.
I did.
And I am Dennis Norris II, and I'm a reader. I'm a writer, I'm a former figure skater, and on Twitter, my alias is Hopra Winfrey.
That's true.
Because I am trying to make America thotty again. Oh, I am doing the Lord's work.
It yes. is a good mission.
It's a great Twitter name.
It's just the truth. Hopra Winfrey. Well, get at me.
Fran, will you tell us what we've got on the menu today?
Absolutely. So for our first segment, you know, it's Pride season, so we talk about whatever the opposite of for Pride is.
Deep shame.
Shame.
Call me by your shame.
Yeah. Yes.
That was not a subpar tweet, Joe, and you must have loved that shit. That was all mine. That was all Teebs.
Tommy shares an impure thought story that gives us a spit take.
Wow, I just got sick all over again.
We start anew in the thought process, and for our dessert, we have the greatest love of all. Is easy. Anyways, it's whatever. It's something that's going to happen. Stay tuned.
Baby, I love you, but don't quit your day job.
That was beautiful, and fuck you.
And she did quit her day job.
Take it away, please. Get us out of here.
Get us out of here.
Nom, 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 nom thoughts.
Hate you.
I'm feeling a little bit peckish. I think it's time we go to our Amuse Bouche segment and to amuse our bouches this week. Fran's got a little girl for us.
That's right. And it's a holiday specific, y'all. We have a Pride edition of today's Amuse Bouche.
Hate it.
Game we are calling Swallow This Pride. Most of these are hard to swallow. I have written up a list of branded Pride campaigns / advertisements.
I'm reporting this.
Some of which, I know, we love capitalism. We love Pride. We love it when brands create branded gay content. And some of these are real and some of these are fake. And y'all will have to decide which ones
Wait,
are real.
Capitalism is so fake. Confusing. It's a really hard time to be alive.
I'm just so excited about that.
This first one. A coffee chain named Costa brings a special drink to the menu featuring rainbow latte art.
Absolutely real.
That's I believe that.
I 100% believe that. And I would get it. I would drink it.
It is 1,000% real. Yep. Rainbow latte. Do you want to drink that afterwards, though? I just don't understand.
I would try it. It might be good.
An image on Instagram of two disembodied holding hands posted by Grey Poupon Mustard.
I really hope the point of this game is that they're all real. Pardon me.
Do you think it's real?
Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Do you see this? I would love it if something named Poupon was somehow connected with Pride. Exactly. Unfortunately, I believe this is a streak of France cleverness. So.
Tommy says it's Grey Poupon.
Shut. Did you really?
You're done.
I do not believe that Grey Poupon particularly cares about Pride. So
this
sorry.
Is real. Very real. How about this? way back when American Apparel was a thing, American Apparel producing a t-shirt that said, "Can you queer me now?"
I think that's totally real. That's on brand.
No, it was called Legalize Gay.
It was Legalize Gay.
They had many branded gay t-shirts, actually. But this one I made up.
I've also never been in
American
Apparel.
It's probably too clever.
Oh my God. I used to work at American Apparel.
Of course you did.
I was top salesman for 3 months in a row.
The only top you've ever been.
Worked on commission.
I was just going to say that, Joe. Yeah.
How much clothes did you steal?
I stole so much clothing. Wow. I've never admitted that ever. They said there was like a big like dumpster of like clothes that we weren't allowed to steal, but they weren't going to go back on the floor. I don't remember
so
where
why couldn't
they were,
you steal them?
They were just like, you can't steal these. We need to send them back to like some, and I took from that thing all the time.
I would have stolen them too.
Yeah. When I was first moved to Brooklyn, like 23 years old, one of my roommates worked at American Apparel and she just came back with mad shit for me all the time.
I love it.
Yep.
M&M's creating a 300-foot rainbow entirely out of M&M's in some football field in Jersey.
First of all, I thought you meant rapper M&M.
Same.
For a minute.
Oh, no.
Same.
Who admitted to being on Grindr?
Oh, yeah.
Just so everyone knows. Like, quasi-out
I truly could not care
M&M.
Less. I'm so mad that you just gave that airtime.
But he said he was looking for women.
Did he?
Yeah.
He just said he was on Grindr.
On Grindr? Was he looking for trans women?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Huh. Okay. He may or may not have been one of the first people in my earliest ever spank bank. But
Dennis. Wait, so
Dennis is all problematic face.
Yeah. I was distracted by thinking about rapper M&M. Can you repeat the question?
We've been drinking.
M&M's creating a 300-foot rainbow entirely out of M&M's in some football field in Jersey.
No, I think that's true. And the math adds up. 300-foot is 100 yard.
Okay, I'll agree with the science nerd.
I also think it's true, but maybe not in Jersey.
I made it up. I made it entirely up. However,
Jersey should have been the sign that you made it up, actually, TBH. We should have known.
It's completely made up. Yeah. But I wouldn't put it past M&M's.
Me neither.
Honey made graham crackers creating a marriage equality map out of graham crackers.
Delicious.
Okay, so how does this map work?
It's just a map made out of graham crackers.
I'm saying this didn't happen.
I think it's real because Fran actually knows he's answering the questions.
I don't know what this is. I feel like, did you see Cardi B when she was on Jimmy Fallon and she was trying to play that game where you pull the nonsensical
and you get a bunch of things that you have to do something with.
And he was like, what is it? And she was like, I don't know. It's pussy balls. So I don't know, Fran, it's pussy balls.
It's real.
Wow. I knew it.
It's totally fucking
real. I knew
it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
A Chipotle advertisement that read Homo estas.
That can't possibly be real. It can't be real.
I think it's real.
I can't.
Tommy Teebs, I would have seen that because I pay a lot of attention to the puns. I don't think so.
And a lot of attention to the Chipotle.
Yeah.
It was real.
Wow.
Not only was it real, but on this advertisement of Homo Estas, there were two little pins that you could pull up, and there was a pin with, it said, which do you prefer? And it had a pin with tacos on it and a pin with burritos on it.
Oh my God!
Comparing Mexican food to genitalia and equating genitalia with sexual orientation.
This was okay. Who thought this was okay?
Oh, wow.
I literally...
Can you imagine pitching this?
I feel like a white girl is behind that.
Or some faggot did it as performance art. and then they bought it.
Somebody, yeah. No, here's what it is. He like sort of looked like John Hamm, so he did like a Don Draper, and he's like, imagine a taco and a burrito.
As someone who has been in advertising, I can attest that gay men have just as terrible of ideas as straight people as it pertains to creating pride campaigns. Skittles producing an all-white bag of Skittles, meaning only white Skittles, claiming they are giving up their rainbow as a protest for gay marriage.
That's fake. That has to be fake. Fran just gave me a look being like, Ben.
I mean, I hope it's fake. Please let that be fake. Tommy.
Oh my God. I'm in between a cock and a hard place right now. I think it's real.
It is real.
No!
It's 1,000% real. Ooh. A rosé company in Los Angeles putting up a billboard with wine pouring from a can. So it's canned rosé. And the copy says, gay beer.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like half of that is like us. But yeah, I feel like that's real.
It was not a pride campaign, but it was real. Because they're geniuses and great at writing copy. Wow.
Always pride in Los Angeles.
Honestly, that was the one advertising that I will stand for. Smirnoff limited edition bottles that say love wins.
Yes.
Yeah, real.
I believe that.
Yeah. It is real. Mm-hmm. Limited edition Oreos with a rainbow cream.
I believe that.
I think that's fake. Joe thinks it's
fake. I think it's real, but it wasn't a pride thing.
It was fake. I made that up. Doritos limited edition rainbow chips.
Oh no!
Oh my God!
Well, if they had it, wasn't in New York. I didn't see that. So
I'm gonna say not real.
It was real. Rainbow Doritos.
What was the flavor?
Yeah. I don't fucking know. It was
like, from what I read,
it was a very limited edition.
Also, like my favorite name for anything is Cool Ranch.
Oh my God.
True.
DJ Cool Ranch?
Yeah, exactly.
Is your drag name Cool Ranch?
Dorito flavor.
Limited edition rainbow UGG boots.
No, I hope fake, not. That's fake, disgusting.
Fake. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, because I would probably buy them. Oh,
yeah, you absolutely.
Or I would have bought them. Maybe not now, but I would have bought
Dennis.
Them.
That is Dennis.
Yeah, that's not Teebs. That's Dennis.
They were not real. Yes. However, when we got marriage equality, they did post a photo of rainbow UGG boots.
But yes. they were never produced.
But they were never produced.
It was a Photoshop.
I care less about Dennis. The boots, but UGG, as a person who's devoted to your earmuffs, if you made rainbow earmuffs, I would be eternally grateful.
Oh, Dennis.
Just FYI.
Bud Light featuring paired up beer cans next to beer cans and then bottles next to bottles as an advertisement suggesting that they were same-sex couples.
Absolutely have.
Absolutely real.
Is it real?
I believe it.
All right, I'll go with the majority.
It was real. It was so literally real.
I might have remembered that.
But that's like the thing that Bud Light would do where like you could read it as a not gay thing. They're not really taking a stance. They're taking a stance if you know how to read it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
An image on Starbucks social media of the two sirens, like the logos, kissing.
Oh, no.
I think that's real.
I think it's fake.
I feel like that's real. I could be wrong.
I don't believe it. This is Tommy. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I think it's fake.
It was real!
No! I swear! I was like, I think I saw... I used to drink a lot of Starbucks. I feel like it's real. I feel like I've seen that.
Wow. I'm so bad at this game. I only got one right so far.
Tommy.
I've only the opposite of whatever I say.
I've only gotten two right. I mean, terrible.
Because it's like capitalism is a parody of itself, so at what point is like... It's impossible to tell.
There's no line. It's so hard.
An equality symbol posted on Instagram made entirely out of Red Bull cans.
Ew.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like it's real.
Absolutely.
Totally real.
a Starbucks rainbow drink called the Unicorn Frappuccino.
That happened.
Real.
That
I remember happened. It.
But it's not a pride thing.
It was not a pride thing. They're just
disgusting.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. They're just bad at
it. It was disgusting.
It's like we've been around for a long time. We're just kind of out of new coffee things.
Thank you for joining us on this confusing journey.
Oh my God.
Of late capitalism.
Oh God, I'm exhausted.
Follow your pride.
It's on.
Listen, it is always on like Donkey Kong here at Food for Thought. And for our next segment, we're switching it up to Teebs, who's going to give us some spectacular impure thoughtery straight out the poop shoe. No. Are you ready, yes. Teebs? Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Impure thoughtery goes here we go. In the poop shoe. That's the direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Not always, boo. You just have you read your book, Joe?
For all the listeners here at home, I just have to let you know that when Dennis introduces a segment, it is a full body operation. It's just like arms everywhere, leaning side to side. There's like some neck action. There's
like
some twists.
He almost fell out of his chair.
Now you know what I look like in fucked.
Oh, no.
Kidding.
I hope that's not what it looks like.
Kidding.
Thank you, as always, for being extra, Dennis. Extra Dennis likes the extra D. We all know that. So today I want to tell you a little story about me being debased casually. Because, I mean, those make the best fodder. So a part of my job involves me going to different schools and speaking to oftentimes different MFA programs. I am not going to mention the school or when this happened because I'm not trying to get fired. Like some people on this show.
Eyes turn to Joe.
True. It's this one.
Yeah. Half of Super Thought is like actively campaigning to get fired right now.
If I had a job, I would be.
Unemployment checks are real.
So, I was visiting this MFA program, and usually what happens is they'll have you in for about 24 hours. You go in, you have dinner with the faculty, you give a reading, you hang out with the students, you do a seminar the next day, and then they fly you back home. This happened to be over the course of 2 days, so there was more sort of pageantry going on, and there was more that I had to do with the whole university. And part of this, a lot of times the part of the contract is that you cannot fraternize with the students. Basically, don't fuck the kids.
Right. They love you going out and drinking with them and mm-hmm. hanging out and being like informal and having chats. But, it sort of has to stop at the level of taking off shirts.
Don't fuck the babies.
Yeah. And don't
do it.
And the thing is, like,
probably stops way before taking off shirts as well. Like, I think there are a lot of steps to get to taking off shirts that still violate.
And I don't like young youth doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, same.
I don't like like people younger than I am. I generally don't tend to get involved with, and also the whole power dynamic of being somebody presenting on a campus is
not
just
sexy.
No, it's disgusting. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't get into it. However, so I was like, no, this isn't going left. This is very much right. Stay with me. So I'm giving a reading at like a, one of those, like, I don't know, it was like a common space for like an MFA program. And there was like a long table where people was just doing their work. So there were people at the, it was like pretty packed. Some of the people there were just there to do work though. And so I'm like reading and I'm like getting into it. And I'm sort of noticing there's like somebody sitting at the table and he kind of turns around as like he's getting enticed by, the siren song of my poetry. And then he just can't stop paying attention. He's just like looking right at me. And I just kind of start reading to him because it's like I'm trying to win him over. You know, there's like something about the motivation of seduction that can really get your head in the game in a way.
I feel like one of the things you gave me as advice on the book tour was you have to do every reading like you're reading to your biggest crush. Like the person that you really want to sleep with and have one opportunity to sleep with is right there in the room. Read to that person.
And it gives it that sense of urgency. However, like just as a tactic to do a good reading, because again, this is a place that didn't have amplification and it was kind of a casual environment. Yeah. So, and the lighting was horrible and I was just trying to do things to make myself like do the best possible job. And then I do it. It's great. There are the kids kind of file out. Some people I sign books, some people buy books. It's like kind of the basic sort of reading thing. And I noticed this person who was sitting at the table has duck around. And he kind of starts talking to me. And I'm just like, God. Like, and he's like,
How tall is he?
He's like on the shorter side. So he's like 6'2". And he is also native.
Wow.
I'm not going to say his nation. I'll say he was Anishinaabe. And he was talking about how he had been in the MFA program. And I was like, oh, had been. And he was like, yeah. I was just kind of on campus because I was like getting some things. I was like advising a couple of people. And I was like, oh, so you're not a student. Awesome. Contract is no motherfucking void. And so I'm like, and I'm just like, oh, you know, I just got in this afternoon and, you know, I'm just like feeling a little bit peckish, if you know what I mean. Because all they really gave me was like some fucking cucumber slices and like a pita chip. Like, I need something. And so he like takes me to, so he like, we get into his, I don't know, fucking VW Tiguan and like go to like a restaurant in the outside in the city right outside this university. And yo, I just gotta say that I love flirting. I love it so much. I love it. I mean, if you know there's like mutual interest and you could just, it's kind of sexy to kind of like be luring somebody in and to just like kind of be playing with them, especially like if they're a tiny bit intimidated by you.
I will second that. I fucking love that game.
Ooh, it's so good.
No one has ever been intimidated by me. It's just not
same.
No.
Well, give yourself a little bit of credit. Now you're probably going to have some fans of the show coming up to you, and they don't know what to say. So it's kind of the thing about flirting is teasing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like you know, kind of like needling into their ribs, or you know what I mean, like letting
the touch,
like let it linger for like a second too long,
casual touch,
or be like,
that's really good,
or like, you're so stupid. And so dinner's over and he's like, oh, where are you staying? And I tell him the hotel that I'm staying at. And I was like, I'm going to be here for 2 days. And again, they didn't give me any food or any food vouchers or anything like that. And I noticed that there was a Trader Joe's across the street. And I was like, would you mind like taking me to the Trader Joe's and then taking me back to the place? Cause I need some food. I need some snacks. I was okay. Yeah. So, you know, I go through the Trader Joe's, you know, I get like a package of salt and vinegar chips and like a box of wine, which is the only thing I was going to eat for 2 days.
Literally all you need.
Literally. And my dinner every night.
Yeah. But like this, there was a little bit of a ulterior motive in this. So we're going back to the place and I'm like, I'm only here for 2 days. Obviously, I'm not going to drink this whole box of wine by myself.
Lies!
Do you want to like...
As if you couldn't.
So, yeah, I'm like deeply, you know, in a subterfuge. You know what I mean? I'm just I'm like a double agent right now.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Like, no, I couldn't drink a box of wine in 2 days. What are you talking about? So I'm like, so do you want to come in and have like a glass of wine? And he says, sure. And so he comes in and we put this movie on. And during the movie, you know, we're super Netflix and chilling. You know what I mean? Like leaning harder and harder into each other.
Oh my God.
And that wine is starting to slosh around a little bit. And you know,
the look on Teeb's face is so precious right now. Yeah, I've like really literally cute. Never seen Teeb.
I'm getting so heady with this. And also he's native and he's like so cute and like smart, and we're just like, it's, I'm just like, this is my one true love, this is like my future, right? And
so you have a little Joe Osmondson in you in that moment,
a little bit.
You met him 2 hours ago and you're planning your future. It's me.
And so you know, then like, you know, making out starts to happen, and you know, the laptop goes off, and then we're just like, then I'm doing what I do best, which is like
sucking the color out of a marble.
Oh my.
It was like those Hocus Pocus witches, like I'm
so
like,
is Joe's cackling. Joe also cackles like a Hocus Pocus witch.
And I like to, you know, I love to, you know, when you're going down on somebody, like, do the little gag, like, well up a little bit.
Oh,
it makes them feel so big.
The single tear rolling down your cheek.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
And, you know, he's like, can I fuck you? And I was like, I wish you motherfucking would. And because Heron Walker, good friend of the show, Heron Walker, one time at a bar just gave me like 100 condoms.
I love that.
Nowhere.
Thank you, baby. Thank you.
Thank you, Heron.
So I just have like a bag full of condoms. And he was like, this is going to be a busy weekend, wasn't it? And I'm like, no, you're just going to fuck me 100 times. So
where is the lie?
You know, he's going in and he ain't that big, but he's doing the whole thing about like, you know, does it feel good? Does it hurt? Are you okay? And I'm like, yes, full, I'm fine. And so he's doing like the long, you know what I mean, like the long deep stroke, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like getting into a back into perfect. Like arching and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like sitting back. We're like, you know, the moon, the lights are off, but the moon is like kind of like right in his face. And he's like doing the close looking and the eye to eye. We're like so seeing soul to soul, you know what I mean? Wow. And then he like rears back and he hawks and he just spits in my face. Just like, and it lands like on my cheek, and it's like,
oh,
it's like, oh! I'm sorry. I get very like my gag reflex is not there when I'm sucking dick, but for gross things. So it's like it's kind of like it like dripping down my
silence.
Oh my god!
Was he
Tommy's losing it?
Did he just like
it was a loogie?
He aimed wrong.
It was a loogie.
It wasn't just spit.
No,
he hawked spit and went. And like it just hit my cheek, and I was like,
"Oh!"
And let me tell you something: I have been spit on twice in New York City by people because I'm a faggot. So it's like, not only do I not like this deed, obviously, because it's fucking disgusting. I mean, like spit if that's what you're into.
We're not king shaming.
I'm not. I just am not personally. And it's like nobody fucking warned me. Nobody asked me if that was okay.
Yeah.
And I just have this, you know, generalized city trauma of being spit on as a faggot by weird people.
Uh-huh.
And it's so dehumanizing.
Ugh.
You know? And I just like, and he's looking at me like nothing's wrong. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like,
oh my God,
I've never had any complaints before. And I'm like, are you a fucking virgin? Like, and oh my God. Like, I just like start kicking and swinging, and I'm like, get the fuck off me, get out of my room. And he's like, what's going on? Why are you being like this? And I was like, get the fuck out. I didn't, this is not conditional. Get the fuck out of my room. And he puts on all his stuff, and I'm just like pushing him out as fast as I can. Wow. And like, go wipe my face off. And I'm like, looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm just like, this is gonna be such a good story. I feel like I immediately like texted like Morgan Parker or something, and I was like, guess who got debased tonight?
Oh my God.
Because I don't know what else to do with such humiliating moments besides like I could veer all the way into like sort of crying game shower, like trying to like scrub myself off with the loofah or whatever. But I was like, no, I'm just gonna make lemonade out of this.
I'm
one.
An LOL. Yeah.
So okay. Not that this makes it better, but was he like just aiming for your mouth and miss? Like, was this a miscalculation? Not that that makes it better.
Wait a minute, Dennis, do you like getting spit on in the mouth?
You know, I do. It's happened once. Happened once with a boyfriend, and it was hot, but that was a different scenario. We'd been together for many months. We were trying different things, and he sort of like caressed my. He like very sweetly sort of caressed my neck and lifted my chin, so I thought he was gonna kiss me, and then he spit in my mouth, but like it was fine.
But it was
a different situation.
You've had a boyfriend?
Yeah, I've had a boyfriend. Okay,
this message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury, because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to MercuryInsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, powder donut.
Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus. The Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool. Only from Progressive.
The owl and a fowl of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Paris Hilton has a podcast. This is Paris, where she talks about the hottest in movies, music, and television with edgy, candid conversations and unexpected guests. This is Paris like you've never heard her before. Join Paris every week for an honest, open, and unpredictable romp through pop culture that only she can deliver.
Over my career, I've probably been interviewed about a million times. So now it's my chance to turn the tables and interview some of your favorite celebs, my friends, my family, people who I find interesting, newsmakers, influential people, and maybe even you.
This is Paris reveals a more personal view of influencer, model, and author Paris Hilton.
I love Schitt's Creek, The Simple Life, Westworld.
Wait, The Simple Life? Are you just going to put that in the middle and then elaborate?
I love it.
How do you want
it? Just so much fun to watch with my boyfriend because he's not like the reality type.
Listen to This Is Paris podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was like four or five years ago.
This like raises an interesting conversation for me because like I've been spit on a lot and almost never consensually. And I feel like I've been, and like a lot of times with partners who maybe had guessed with me enough that I would be into it. And I don't know how much nonverbal communication you can do to like consent to spit. So, but I do, and I don't want to kink shame people who are into it, but I have heard from a lot of people that like you can either get like a lot of great reactions or a lot of negative ones.
So this is Joe, and I've played with this a lot, both with people, mostly with people that I've slept with. Definitely, this is not a first time fucking move, no matter what. But like there are a lot of ways that you sort of gauge people's reaction, and one of the things that almost everyone finds sexy is if you're topping, for example, and there's like a little bit not enough lube, and if you let spit drop down onto your dick wet the dick as you fuck, that's like, for me, love it.
Or like the spit on the hand.
Spit on the hand. And then like, and then if like that gets a good reaction, then you can like, Tommy's very upset.
I don't the connection though. Because there's a functional reason why you're spitting in that moment. But if you're just like spitting on my nipple or my cheek,
I'm sorry. There is no functional reason. It's just very porny. You use lube. You watch a lot of porn. You spit on someone.
Well,
like,
if you don't
that's
have
super
that
hot to you. It's not practical.
I will say, as someone who's on Truvada and has unprotected sex a lot now, that it is absolutely practical. It's not practical like, if you have a condom on, because
to use spit instead of lube.
Yes.
Yeah, it works.
With a condom, it doesn't work so great, but without a condom, it works amazing. It's great.
Or God forbid you happen to not have lube, like then you're in the mood and it can be functional and
it like
well.
Reactivates the lube
but
a little bit.
But to me, that has nothing to do. Like, I wouldn't then be cool with that, and then all of a sudden you just like spit on my face.
One does not go immediately to the face. That's what I'm saying. Is that there's like layers of like things that you try and get nonverbal consent
just
for.
Like spitting on other parts of the body. I think that would be very strange. I think I would just be like, what are you doing?
Tommy's gonna vomit if we keep having this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's time we move on. Tommy, thank you for sharing your amazing impure thought, which was not entirely poop shoot related, but that was a good thing. Yeah,
the mouth shoot.
Thank you.
The mouth shoot.
It's worse. Hi everyone. Today, for our last episode in season 2, we're going to be talking about endings, beginnings, and how the two are inextricably linked. For us thoughts, taking a little break from making the show is a bit of an ending of sorts, but it's also a gift. We all have writing projects that will now be able to prioritize and put out other sorts of content. Teebs, fuck you Teebs. Teebs, Fran, Dennis, and I all have books to finish this summer, and summer starts now. I also think about this in terms of loss and trauma. How many injuries, breakups, and lost jobs are actually the start of an entirely other, oftentimes better, life? This past weekend, We did a reading, and Fran read a poem about Duende, the notion of turning pain or loss into art, and I definitely do this. It helps me process the end, and sort of sitting in front of a blank page is like a new beginning that is initiated there.
Exactly.
The end of every day is the beginning of a night, as Frank Ocean reminds us, and night gives us its own gifts. Dennis in backless gowns. Fran posting Insta stories from his 3rd of 5 influencer parties. And Tommy in bed.
Yeah.
Here, I'm definitely guided by the melodramatic and cyclical nature of tarot, where each suit tells a story, and each story has victory and loss, attainment and adversary, ending with a deep wisdom, but acknowledging that the cycle will start again. So many cards that seem to symbolize the end actually stand in for new beginnings. Mm-hmm. The death, for example, or the Joker, as the enthusiasm is setting out on a new path. So thoughts, to begin. What's one time that you thought you were lost, but you were actually deeply, deeply found, or used that moment of lost to find yourself?
This is Tommy Teebs Pico, and if you're listening to this right now, it's probably in June, and that means that my third book, Junk, has come out. You can get it in any good bookstore near you, any trashy one, or in Amazon.com. Just search for Tommy Pico and Junk. I would have to say that it was at the end of a relationship in, I think this was 2015, I felt absolutely bereft, and that's the thread of that end is what became my third book. And I was able to process the loss, but also imagine the next thing, and in doing so, invite the next thing into being.
That's right.
I would say for me, the first time that comes to mind, and that was probably the most profound for me, was when I graduated college, because all of my friends had a job, or if they didn't have a job, they had money from their families that had money to move somewhere and like start their life. And I literally came to graduation day and I was like, oh, mom and dad, I guess I'm moving back to Cleveland with you because I don't have anything else to do. Mm. I actually asked them if they would give me $5,000 to move to New York City because I thought that would be enough. And they said no.
Also, that is definitely enough. A lot of people move here with way less than $5,000.
I mean, it is, but like for what I thought that it had to be, like I had no clue yet how to hustle, how to like find an apartment on like I would have like used a realtor and I would have probably paid first lesson security and I probably would have used all my money just on the move.
Yeah. Right.
So in my head, it wasn't enough. Because I just didn't know better. But my point is that, like, I really didn't know. That was when I was beginning to think that maybe I wanted to try this thing called writing earlier in my life than I had intended. And I had gone through almost all of college planning to, like, audition at, like, music conservatories to get a master's of music and viola performance. And at no point in my senior year was I ready to do those auditions. And so I backed out of all of them. And so I literally was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I was like, I have nothing else to do but to move back home to Cleveland. And so I ended up living with my parents for a year. It ended up being the best thing I could have done because I developed a creative writing portfolio because I wrote a short story that summer and realized that I did want to be a writer. And my mom went through an illness. She had a stroke during that year, and she'd had it at our house, and I was actually the person who found her, and so I was home to support my parents and help them out. Right.
And your dad was still alive then.
And my dad was still alive.
So you got a year with him.
I got a year with him, and he was in good health at that time. So, like, what was going to happen a few years later was, like, a surprise because he was in a good situation. But I just, like, began to figure out how I wanted to construct my life. And what I always have said to other people is that it actually turned out to be a blessing that I didn't move into anything specific. I just moved into this very quiet space. I moved into my parents' home. I was applying for jobs. The economy was shit. It was 2008. I was literally applying for jobs. I applied for a job at Dick's Sporting Goods, if you can believe that.
Oh,
that is real.
Fitting, but that somehow is, also
but
not.
But also not. I worked for one.
Because D just saw the first word, Dicks, and was like,
and I was like, oh, okay, let's do it.
I got this.
I think in the 6th grade, I bought a tennis racket from there, so I like thought I could like work there.
Oh.
And you picked the biggest thing you can buy.
Oh my god.
But what happened was I spent a week working for this national nonprofit called Fund for the Public Interest canvassing houses. I hated it. I would fantasize that a car would hit me so that no one would be mad if I quit my job.
That is
I was miserable. So after a week, they were like, well, we're sending you to Boston. And I was like, you're not. I'm quitting. And I got a job at Lush Handmade Cosmetics selling bath bombs and soaps at the mall.
Now that is a fitting job for you.
And I did really well at it. But
you were
I was born to do that job. But I spent a year like just literally developing a portfolio, figuring out how I wanted to move forward. And I got to have all of this time and all of this quiet to kind of choreograph what the next few years were going to be for me. And in that, I found myself. And when I found that that's how I wanted to move my live my life and that that was really important for me, I kind of began to understand how I work and how I wanted to move through the world. And I began to figure out what writing was going to be for me and what I the role I wanted it to play in my life. Right.
Fran?
I had a few different answers. And now I'm going to scrap those and share a similar story about working for the Fund for the Public Interest, canvassing on streets. I was a canvasser for the Human Rights Campaign for, I know, right? Well, that was the thing that you do when you learn that you're gay and you've only been gay for like, you know, a few years. And you're like, this is the thing that I'm supposed to be interested in. I started working for them during a summer that I was in a little bit of a emotional purgatory. I was unhappy at college. I was unhappy with my home life. I was unhappy with my friend groups and trying to figure out what my next step was. And when you canvass for any organization, I don't know how they are now. This is, you know, a really long time ago. You spend 5 hours at a time just standing in the middle of the street. Oof. And waving to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, asking them to pull over. And 99% of those people say
no,
or fuck you, or ignore you. And I had to learn how to harden myself to all of those experiences over and over again every single day for 3 months.
Kind of like trying to get into the gay mafia.
I know.
I did it for a week.
I was done. I was also dating a really toxic guy at the time who I did a lot of drugs with, and that was like another form of erasure. of like self erasure.
Can I ask what drugs?
It was cocaine and Molly and we snorted a pill that I once, and I don't remember what the pill was, but I remembered that I didn't experience anything afterwards. I was like, I don't know what that was supposed to do.
Oh.
I'm very drug stupid. This is the only, like, that's the only certain circumstance wherein, like, I did a lot of drugs. Huh. And I feel like I was just trying to figure, I had known myself and my personality all the way up to this point, and in a moment of, like, loss, of like understanding who I was and what I wanted, I tried to be someone else. And part of that process was being hardened by this weird job that like shut me off from emotions.
Oof,
and segmented me from like my emotional life and my inner life. And another part of it was me pretending to be this guy that I wasn't with this person that I was dating. And pretending to be interested in him even though I wasn't. And then we pretended to be boyfriends even though both of us knew that we didn't live in the same state. Because I was just home for you know, 3 months. And then I was going to go back to school.
I can see being with somebody toxic and not feeling like yourself if there's like a finite amount of time.
I also like it in another like kind of symbolic thing. Like I died a large gold streak in my hair.
Oh my God.
And so I just like, I was just like fucking with my personality and my sense of self and like trying to create a new version of myself. And like at the end of the summer, I still felt really empty.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't know myself. And I ended up moving to London for almost a year. And that was the time that, and I've talked about this time before, but that was the time where I spent so much time with myself that I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
Not figured it out as in I know me, but like at least worked through whatever that summer was.
But it's also like sometimes a part of self-discovery is figuring out what you're not.
Exactly.
Like you try on these hats and you're
Oh my God, yes.
Most like, of them don't.
No.
Fit. That's the thing. That's the thing about wildly trying on.
Yeah.
And like,
which can be healthy.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's absolutely how I think it's like. How else do you figure out what your personality is?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is Joe, and I'm going to surprise everyone. My general answer to this question is the same as Teeb's. Like, breakups are very formative times for me where I'm sitting in pain, and that tends to generate a lot of new creative work, but also new growth in my own self. But I had this experience in the past year where I had a job very slowly become and turn more and more toxic. Mm. And what I realized is that my Irish Catholic self is very good at commitment and very good at staying committed even when situations turn very toxic. And it's very hard for me to change those situations. So what happened was I was in this work situation that was toxic all along, but turning increasingly so to the point of really harming me in terms of my mental health and sometimes my physical health. It was horrible, but I was grinning and bear it. It was like, I'm doing this until I do the next thing. And there wasn't, to be honest, there weren't really a lot of ways out. And then I sort of got this new job opportunity, which is the position I'm in now. And I still kind of was hanging on to the idea of doing research in this lab I had been in before. I really didn't want to give that up. And I really loved the work that I was doing. But interpersonally, it was incredibly toxic. And I ended up being pushed out of that job. And it was really hard because I was pushed out of research science. And for me, that's something I've spent more than 15 years doing. And as much, you know, twice the time that I've spent trying to be a professional writer, it is just like the core of my identity. And it was a huge, I was just mourning like crazy. Like I felt like this thing had been done to me that I won't be able to undo. I sort of took this position teaching, given the idea that I would be able to still do research science. And then that was cut off. And I just felt like part of me was being lopped off. And I went back to work in January, starting this new semester just as a teacher. And it was hard to go back. Not doing this thing that I'd always done. And it felt like a huge loss. But what I realized is that every day going to work, not being in this toxic situation anymore was a gift.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you might, like, maybe you should have lost the thing that you
lost. Exactly. That's the thing. And I would never have done that on my own. But my God, it was just like I got to rediscover going to work and having fun. I got to rediscover going to work and not being bullied. I got to rediscover going to work and just having my work day be my work day and like doing my work and like doing what I needed to do, but then not feeling bad if I did some writing or if I went to the gym or if I came in late because I was staying late one day. It was just like not having all of this eggshell around me all the time and just being able to be myself again.
Yeah, and it's weird how sometimes dynamics like that can you just like internalize that inhibition.
Oh my God. Teams internalize inhibition exactly right. Yeah.
It's like holding it's like holding your breath constantly.
Oh, constantly. And you have to do that to survive sometimes, right? I was like, I was doing that in my former situation in order to just live because there was no easy way out.
And not just even in like work stuff too, but also like the idea of, you know, you having identity markers based on what your job is, who you're dating, where you're living. You know, it's easy to, because they're pillars, because we live in a deeply capitalist society, because, you know, it's so fucking hard in New York to get any one of those things with any kind of stability. You tend to cling to them when you have them, right? And to that degree, sometimes you need one of them to be taken away from you sort of suddenly to recognize how toxic it was in the first place and how, like, fitting into a new one, you like you said, it gives you some freedom and you get to choose what your next thing is to a certain extent.
I am deeply change averse. Deeply. For me, it's so hard, even when I've recognized that a relationship is toxic or that a job is toxic, to be willing to take the steps to move out of that. I almost internalize that as a failure.
And it sounds like it comes from a survival instinct that helped you get through a portion of your life. I mean, all of these hangups or all of these aversions or all of these traumas or all of these inured survival instincts come from a time and place when they were very useful, right? And it's like, I'm curious to know, like, first of all, like, how do you know when a thing is vestigial organ, like a thing that has no use anymore and it's time to get rid of it, and how you go about doing that. And it's a question that, like, I've often asked my therapist, Dr. John. Shout out to Dr. John.
Shout out to Dr. John.
We love the therapists up in here, y'all.
Yeah. That sometimes it's like, oh, you know, having a certain, I don't know, for example, for me, not being able to commit to a romantic partner, MPD.
And me not being able to leave one.
Yeah. And there's like something about, and I think it does have a lot to do with a fear of intimacy, but it's just like that ability to sort of pack up my emotional life with a man and like move on to the, it's like that has a deep root in something that helped me survive at some point. There's I always say that my survival strategy from a young age was dissociation. It was very easy to like take my mind out of the situation because I couldn't take my body out of it, you know?
Yes,
that sort of leads to a lot of different malformations in adulthood where it's like having, for example, being in a shitty relationship and being like, well, I'm just going to be here. I don't like it, but my head is going to be someplace else. So my body is still here sitting next to him on this couch with all of his roommates. So I fucking hate, and I, God damn it. And this, God. So much wasted time when it was just like, we were hanging. Oh God. And they were all theater kids too.
No offense to any of our listeners who are theater kids. Offense. We love you.
As a theater kid,
I was a former theater kid.
We love you, but we probably don't want to.
I will stand for theater kids, but also acknowledge the fact that they are insufferable.
Particularly for dating.
Well, and there's a certain type of, especially at that time, it's like there's a certain type of, and no shade. All shame.
Let's be honest. This is the truth booth up in here.
It's not just theater kids, but there's a particular way in which it comes out in theater kids, right? It's just like frustrated writers are the same way. Mm-hmm. Frustrated artists, frustrated musicians.
Mm-hmm. All graduate students.
Yeah. Everybody's a fucking garbage storm. But the I don't know. Tell me it's different.
The truth is coming out in the season finale.
But there's a particular way that is anathema to me personally.
Yes.
And that is like a group of people, this is going to sound hilarious right now, but like a group of people who are trying really hard to be the center of attention.
Yes, yeah. That is theater like, people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like kind of going, and each of them are kind of outdoing each other, and like
exhausting.
The stakes are ratcheting up and up. And I just, I wanted to, and it was just like, I was in the corner of my body, like inching away.
How long did you stay there?
It was like 6 months.
Because that doesn't seem... When I think about you as a person... Actually, when I think about everybody in this room as a person, one of the things that I admire about y'all and that I try to emulate in my own life is the ability not to dissociate in romantic relationships and when things are shitty, to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he ended up dumping me. He couldn't handle me, all right?
However you get out is however you get out.
But yeah, I think I made it insufferable for him, so he...
That sounds like teams to me, Fran.
Jumping on that a little bit, I am someone... I crave new beginnings. I crave change. Mm. I crave, like, fresh starts constantly to a point that is compulsive. Like, before I lived in New York, I hadn't lived anywhere this long in like 8 or 9 years. With the year that I moved to New York, I had 11 addresses in 12 months.
Oh my God.
I was constantly looking for new things and new addresses. And also, when you move to New York, you have a bunch of different places that you're living at.
But that sounds so exhausting, but
like,
though.
I loved it. I'm someone who I adore rolling with the punches. I'm really good at accommodating to new scenarios. I have faith in change. I have faith in the fact that things are never going to go the way I exactly planned them. So when they don't go the way that I thought they would go, I'm like, that's great, because I was relying on that to not go the way I thought it was going to go. Oh. You know what I mean? We're never going to be able to project what it is we want for our futures. And in that stage of the beginning where you have big pie in the sky ideas about like what this new beginning can mean for you, it's worth it for you to like dial it back and be like,
yes,
how about I set my expectations in a wider way so that I have a variation of like failures that I could experience.
And
I run through those and I figure out what the next plans from those are. Ooh, so that's what I'm about.
Yeah, if you were able to refine your expectations, or you were able to refine your projection for a thing, I think ultimately the only thing you have control over is how you act. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I commit to being honest. Mm-hmm. I commit to saying what it is that I feel. Mm-hmm. I commit to staying in the room with somebody. That way, hashtag I'm trying,
The work that you're doing is the one that first, like I said before, you had control over, but ultimately the one that even if it doesn't work out, you don't leave thinking like you could have done something
There's
different.
There's no regrets.
Yeah.
Hey, cuties. Did you not get enough of our thought process? If you want a little more, you can join us on Twitter after the conversation and get up all in our mentions. You know, just, like, at us. I mean, like, we'll all participate in conversation on Twitter with
Especially
you.
Especially Joe. I have nothing better
exactly,
to do.
Exactly. With the questions, the thought-starting questions that are pinned at the top of our page. And as always, that's at food, the number four, and thought spelled
T-H-O-T
pod on Twitter.
I've got that feeling like I've had enough, but I could fit one more thing inside of me. Dennis knows how I feel. So, to bring up the rear of this episode, our dessert this week will be brought to us by Fred.
That's right. This week, our dessert is, again, we're having second helpings of this one. Y'all, are the absolute pride and joy of this podcast. You are the reason that we do it. Except for Tommy. Tommy does it for self-aggrandizement.
I was going to be like, who is this? For me? Okay, well.
I do it for the dick pics.
But we get tons and tons of messages, DMs, emails, everything into our inboxes. Just like kind of saying like what this show means to y'all. And they're really beautiful to read. So we would love to read a few of them. Because, we love y'all. This one says, Dear Beautiful Thoughts, damn, I love you guys so much. It's weird not realizing that there is such a deficit in my life until I discovered your podcast. And it's all graceful thoughtiness. Aww. I definitely look forward to listening to your insights every week. I get to listen to conversations that I don't know anyone else around me would be able to have here. I live in the suburbs of Georgia, 45 minutes out of Atlanta. You're like the four therapeutic friends I never realized I needed.
Baby.
I know
amazing.
I'm gonna pants you when your whole family.
There's nothing more I could say except that I wish I had tuned in sooner, and I'm grateful for what y'all do. Also, I'm in love with Fran. Thank you.
I am Fran.
Now you
literally said that. Fran wrote that.
Well,
Fran
no, literally, I wrote that. Yeah. Hey, thoughts. I can't tell you how many times I've written, deleted, and rewritten this email due to equal parts of fear and vulnerability, freaking out like a motherfucking fanboy. You are all such talented writers, and so it had to be somewhat eloquent. I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I live and work in Kansas, the gross sepia tone part Dorothy should have known never to go back to.
It's really beautiful, actually.
I know. Come on.
Kansas has, like, you can watch storms roll in from 100 miles away.
They say, I ended up here at the end of July, and the transition has been super rough. I work at a university, which gives me some hope for the foreseeable future. As you can imagine or have experienced, small-town life in the Midwest can be quite isolating. I was and am struggling to find folk with whom I can be myself. Your podcast has basically served as my manna in the desert.
Ooh! Manna
nuts? Biblical reference. Coming for the PK.
I look forward to your conversations every week, and they feature prominently in my self-care Sundays. Aww, I know you probably get a lot of messages. I don't know how many of them are actual thanks, but what you do means a lot to me, so thank you.
Oh, I'll give you a
wedgie.
Oh
my God.
Bully.
That's incredible.
So this one says, I'm sure you get this a lot from in the mountains of accolades you receive each week, but I have to say thank you for sharing your podcast as a 54-year-old newly out thought.
Yes.
This insight to my community is given that you've given me is so priceless. Keep up the stellar work.
I was trying to look at some that I have, but I never respond to these or read them. I have like a bunch in my request thing. I don't know. They just say, have my babies.
Bye.
Tommy's ovaries are ready.
That is 100% on brand.
This one, we have such a range. I wanted to say thank you for your authenticity, thoughtfulness, and genuine conversation on the Food for Thought podcast. I will admit, I am a straight white woman.
No!
However, the comments and conversations you guys have around gender, sex, race, all hit my heart. I would even say the issues and topics you guys talk about and go in much deeper help me relate on a deep level of humanity that feels very vulnerable. So I just want to drop you guys a note of gratitude and send thank you. Thank you for creating this podcast. You truly make my life better when I listen, and I feel less alone when I have similar thoughts. If you're ever in San Diego, please hit me up. I'll take you out to brunch.
Thank you, Kathy, or whatever your name is.
It's Fran's dream. He's like making white women happy.
I love you. White women have feelings too.
That is 100% true.
You said it like it wasn't.
I know. Thank you, all you people, for those things. For I can't say the word fans. I just say people who listen to the show.
Yeah,
Tommy, like to say listeners.
Tommy pretends that there are four people who listen to the show, and they're all his best friends.
Actually, the four people in this
are
room
in this room. Yeah, yeah.
No, Dennis does not listen to the show. Oh,
True.
Thank you. This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé and our partnership with Into, an online magazine for queer news and culture. Head to intomore.com each week for a special little love letter from the thoughts. Our engineer is Alex Mead Fox at Spaceman Sound Studios, and our producer is the patron saint of THC, Alexandra De Palma.
Oh my God!
Highest fuck in the corner right now.
I'm Tommy Teebs. Oh, who was hitting the one hitter before we started? I'm Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs on all relevant social media.
I'm Fran. You can find me at Fran Squish Co. on any social media you want. And right as we speak, I am getting on a really very long 545-mile bike race for AIDS Life Cycle. I'm helping raise money and dollars and awareness for the HIV/AIDS crisis, and you can still help me reach my goals. So click on the links in my bio.
Where does it end, Fran?
I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to have an amazing ass.
It ends in LA, I think.
Yeah, no.
LA thoughts, whoever wants to fuck Fran's blistered ass.
Oh my God. I mean, I will be putting Tiger Balm on it the whole way through, so I'm going to take good care of it for you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Slide into Fran's ass in LA.
Truly, I will be ready for it. And I, like, after, like, big exercises, I'm like, ready.
Oh, I mean, that is the horniest time of all.
That is like the gayest Portlandia thing ever. Put Tiger Balm on it.
I love Tiger Balm.
I am Joseph Osmondson. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com. I'm going to be in the South this summer, Fayetteville, Little Rock, Arkansas, Atlanta. Hit me up. Probably Oxford, Mississippi. It'll be on my website.
And I am Dennis Norris II, and you can find me at my website, www.dennisnorrisii.com, where you can find links to my chapbook and lots of upcoming readings in New York City.
Woo! Woo. You can listen to Food for Thought on Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch golden audio goodness. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes to keep us slutty, America. Find us on Twitter and Facebook as Food for Thought Pod, and on Instagram as Gay Sluts Who Read. Sign up for our newsletter for episode insights, reading lists, and extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics to thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number four, and thoughts about her.
T-H-O-T.
Thank you for listening.
See you next season. Mwah.
Wait, I'm getting a Skittle.
I don't know. That was straight out the poop chute, you know?
Oh my God.
This will not make it through the episode, however, if they were playing the drinking game.
Poop chute. Oh my God.
I'm never not at Whole Foods.
Whole Foods is Fran's workspace.
Whole Foods is my safe space.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.